11 o'clock.
Log Talk Radio. Look around you, the mess is not hard to find. Empty faces, wars, and toxic places. A deep divide between have and have not. Two sides of a coin. Pain of too much, pain of too little. A system breaking down. Yet there is enough, more than enough for everyone. There is enough as we remember we are one.
Well, welcome everyone to the Heal My Voice radio show. Heal My Voice empowers women and girls globally to heal, reclaim their voice, and step into greater leadership in their lives and in the world. Our focus is on leaders who are ready to tell more of their life story, to explore and discover the gifts in it, and to inspire others by sharing personal stories with vulnerability and power. Heal My Voice is a tax-exempt nonprofit organization. And for more information about Heal My Voice programs, events, things that we have done in the past, where we're going in the future, you can go to healmyvoice.org. Well, my name is Andrea Hyland. I am the founder of Heal My Voice, and today I'm having a conversation with Andrea Wenger and Beth Terrence about grief, change, loss, and transformation. And we're also speaking of this as everyday extraordinary women. The radio shows this month are a continuation of conversations that are happening in a living room in Ellicott City, a healing center in Annapolis, a coffee house in Tacoma Park, and a church classroom in Fairfax, Virginia. Our series this month, March of 2015, is about feminine voices, everyday extraordinary women on leadership and living. And this series seeks to energize conversation about the journey of feminine leadership. Before I bring on my guests, I want to say that for me personally, the conversations are a return to my deepest desires, my heart space, the thing that drives me. When my kids were little, I used to organize small groups of women and men in my living room for book circles and conversations around personal growth, spirituality, and creativity. And as I look back, I'm aware of how it was in those living rooms, for me personally, 25 years ago, that the seeds of Heal My Voice were planted. And then recently, I saw the film Selma, a historical drama based on the 1965 Selma to Montgomery voting rights marches. One of the scenes in the film has played over and over in my mind. It took place in a living room with people who wanted to raise awareness and consciousness, take inspired action, and make a difference in the world. And I was reminded of how that is where change begins, with friends and friends of friends in living rooms, in libraries, in church basements, and on the radio, with conversations and inspiration and sharing ideas that turn into action that impact the world. This month, as we're celebrating International Women's Day and Women's History Month, we were having these four events. And the next one is on Sunday, March 15th from 9 to 11 a.m. at Bus Boys and Poets in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Women and men are invited to all of the events. There are Heal My Voice authors who are speaking about authentic feminine expression and leadership in the world in all its diverse forms. And then we're opening the room for more conversation. So please go to the website, click on the event, upcoming event tab, and just look at what's there. It'd be wonderful to see you in person. And for those of you who can't be there in person, we're following up the conversations with radio shows. So as I invite Andrea and Beth into the conversation, I want to share a few things about them. And also, Beth and Andrea, just so you know, your lines are open. I don't have you on mute, so any noise in the background, I figure you can mute your own phone with that. So let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Andrea Wenger, first of all, I want to say that the music in the beginning and the end of the show is Andrea. So she works with the alchemy of sound, breath, and voice to create a sacred space where spontaneous healing can occur. She works collaboratively in varied group settings to teach and facilitate the transformative power of sound and song. Tools she uses include drum, rattle, her voice, and crystal singing bowls. Her sampler CD of sacred a cappella songs and crystal singing bowls includes a guided relaxation meditation. Andrea also supports individuals on their awakening journey with vibrational healing through Reiki and sound. And both websites for Andrea and for Beth are listed on the show page here for Heal My Voice. You can just click on the radio page there. Now, to share a little bit about Beth, writing has always been one of Beth's greatest passions and is one of her favorite tools to share with others. Since childhood, she has written poetry and kept a journal. Beth believes that her own life journey has served as a catalyst for the message she brings to the world, that at our core, we are all beings of love, light, and peace. We just need to remember. This has led to her path as a shaman and holistic health practitioner. She shares about her journey in her stories, published in several Heal My Voice anthologies. So let's take a breath on that before I ask you any questions. Let me hear your voices. So hello, Andrea, and hello, Beth. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello, good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, morning. Thanks for having me. Great to connect again.
Yeah. So I'm still in a little bit of the feeling of the conversation that we started at the Zen House in Annapolis on March 8th, which actually is the official International Women's Day. And there was a panel of authors. There were the three of us, and then Karen Porter, who was not able to be here today, and Monisha Mittal, who really is the woman who's been organizing all of the events and who served as moderator. And I was really feeling in this morning about where to continue the conversation, how to continue that on the radio. And I was really aware of how each of us talked about the loss of a loved one. And at the same time we were talking about the loss of a loved one, there were also a loss of dreams and ideas and just this whole idea of how when there's a loss in our lives, whether it's a loved one or a divorce or loss of a job, change in some way, that there's a period of time for healing and then transforming those feelings. So I thought I'd like to start today by asking each of you to share a personal loss of some sort that you have experienced and in some ways have transformed or are transforming, and then some of the ways that you dealt with that. You know, what are the ways that you heal feelings of loss, grief, and change? So who would like to begin?
Well, go ahead, Beth, if you're ready.
Okay, I can start. Okay. Gosh, let's see. I don't know why it kind of popped into my mind when you asked the question. Was a day in my life, and on that day, I had, well, what would seem like two losses, and I'll just touch on the three things that happened today in the course of that day. Was that I got divorced, went to sign the papers to be divorced, finalized, and then right after that, I got a call from a friend of mine who had gone into labor overnight and had a baby and went to the hospital and held the baby and, you know, spent time with her. And then I had a mentor who had really helped me through a difficult time in my life, and he had had a brain hemorrhage, and I went to see him that afternoon in the hospital, and by the time that I had arrived, he had died. So it was kind of a day filled with loss, with death and birth and transformation. And it took me a long time to just really understand the impact even of that day on my life. I had already been in a period of loss and grief going through a divorce and had some loss of family members during that time. So, and I think that happens for a lot of people where, you know, sometimes we have a specific loss that maybe is a death or a loss of a person or a divorce or even, you know, relocating or a change or a birth can be a loss of the way life as we knew it was. So that there, just as I went through that period of my life, I came to really see, you know, the loss shows up in a lot of different ways. And again, for me, really felt like the loss of self or my sense of self as the way I knew it, and then kind of leaves what I found was in then being in sort of a period of grief for and loss for a period of time, and the emotion of that, I found myself left, you know, sort of not knowing who I am or where my next steps would be. And one of the things that I had already been a holistic health practitioner for going on about at least 10 years at that point in time. And so really was pretty good in terms of my self-care and balance and how I took care of myself and supported other people in that. And what I really surprised me was that I kept trying to go back to what worked for me before. And I was really, you know, it took me a pretty good period of time to realize that even because the things I did seemed so healthy and balanced and worked for me before, didn't mean they were going to work for me now. I was in such a new, a different place in my life. And so it almost, in a way, I felt like that period of time catapulted me, sort of to my next level. And in the process of it, it felt like a fall, in a sense, or going in, I guess, and then eventually I emerged in a new way. But it took a long time, and, you know, again, sometimes, you know, one thing is I think everybody's different, and so how we grieve and how we deal with loss is different, and it's really important to honor that, and it takes as long as it takes. That's something that I really learned during that time. And then I honor for myself and for others that there's just no rule, and particularly in our modern Western society, there's sort of the belief that we just need to kind of buck up and move on and get back to life as normal. And maybe in other cultures, there's a little more honoring of that mourning period or grieving time, or it's done in different ways, maybe in more emotive ways. So really recognizing that it takes as long as it takes, and that we're all, you know, everybody's journey is different. There's not one formula for it. It's something that I really came through that time understanding.
Thank you. There were so many rich layers there. First of all, that what worked in the past may not work in the present, that we are all different, and we have that grieving is a process of life, and to let it take however long it takes. And even I would say, and I know we've talked about this too, that in many ways it's a cycle that we recycle back through at different times. Or I know recently I was at a friend's house in Towson, Maryland, and I hadn't been in that area. During that, I hadn't been there at night, and in that area for a long time, and I drove past the hospice where my husband died, and now it's been almost 10 years. And I just, oh my gosh, I had this whole wave of like sadness and just like burst out crying. And I, you know, like it's a cycle or something just taps in. So it takes as long as it takes, and to honor whatever comes up whenever it comes up. So thank you. And that whole idea that mm-hmm. also that death and birth, that sometimes things are clustered in that way. It is amazing to have a divorce and then a baby born and then the death of a mentor. And what is possible for us as human beings to feel and move through in transformation over time. Andrea, I want to just turn my attention to you and have you share of personal loss or whatever's coming up for you right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots. I agree. Many rich layers in what Beth was sharing, and some of it really resonates with what was on my mind. I feel like there's kind of a smattering of things I want to touch on. There's, you know, the personal loss of people in my life. It's been 25 years now since I lost my brother at the age of 23. So I was very young. I was 21 at the time. And so that was a very different experience than more recently losing my mother. And then the loss of a divorce, of a husband in the middle there too, about 8 years now. So those, you know, those kind of stand out as the big ones. But I was also reflecting on, because I feel like I've been in a constant process for a while now of loss. I actually can relate to the cluster idea just recently having moved, because there's loss there of, you know, places and just the, you know, the familiarity of where I had been living. And letting go of all that and moving into and kind of reestablishing, as well as, you know, my mother dying. And yet kind of underneath all of this, what's coming to me is how, you know, I let go of a former career. And this is actually, I guess, what a lot of my story and Inspired Voices was about, letting go of a former career to really follow, you know, what was pulling me, where my heart was taking me on a more spiritual path and discovering, you know, what am I really here for, you know, in terms of my work in the world. And you know, it really is a spiritual path, which is a process of letting go and losing on some level many, many things in our lives. So that's one thing that was coming up for me. And I think one of the most important things that I've learned is the importance of honoring the feelings. I actually grew up not in touch with my feelings very much at all. And so it's been a big learning journey for me to really be in touch with them and honor them and not stifle them or, you know, kind of cram them down out of fear that they're going to be overwhelming or just that they're unacceptable. I think we get so many messages in our culture about, you know, crying being a sign of weakness or, you know, people, you know, I hear a lot, thankfully my parents didn't do this to me, but I hear a lot of stories of people who get shamed, you know, for expressing feelings. And actually it may have happened to me. I don't have any particular memories, but, you know, just that suppression of our emotions can lead to so many health problems as well as, you know, mental, emotional challenges and relationship challenges. And so that's a big piece of what I've learned is just the importance of honoring and releasing my emotions, letting the tears come, letting, the anger out, you know, whatever the stage of the grief process is, like to just honor it as it's showing up. Like you were saying, you know, there are these cycles and layers to it, and just allowing it to be what it is. Again, kind of our cultural norms. I've heard a lot of people talking recently about how, you know, there's often this expectancy that you just get back to life and work within a few weeks after, you know, losing someone that you love. And I just think that those expectations put so much pressure on us and don't leave room for really healthy processing and grieving. So personally, you know, because my tendency is to put a lid on the feelings, journaling can help me. I really find it valuable to move, like dancing or just movement of whatever kind, because the emotions get locked up in our bodies. And so movement and exercise just kind of helps to bring them to the surface and helps to release them. And then sound is, you know, my big area that I'm still learning a lot about, but using sound, which we do in a natural way with just groaning or the sounds of crying, they're all releasing energy. And so I've been playing around with that a little bit more, just letting whatever sound wants to come out, you know. It might sound a little weird or strange at first, but just to honor whatever's wanting to be released in a subverbal way, like not needing to have words to explain it, but to just release it. So those are some of the things that I've been learning about, working with, relying on as ways to support me in the process, and really just embracing that grief process and trusting it, that it doesn't need to, not putting expectations on it, I guess is another way to say it, like just letting it be as it is. And whenever those triggers happen, like you just shared, Andrea, with you know, you go by a certain place or you smell a smell or you see a picture and it just kind of brings it all back, and to just allow those emotions to roll through. I've found that they aren't nearly as overwhelming as I think they might be if I just allow myself to feel them and release them. So I'll stop there for now.
Yeah, well, so much richness with things that both of you said. One of the things, I know that for myself, when I really wanted to talk about grieving as a conversation, was exactly what you were saying, is the importance of honoring the feeling. And my own past, my brother died when I was 4, and he died of SIDS. And so it was like very sudden. He was, I found him in the crib dead. I didn't know he was dead, but there was, you know, there wasn't really an understanding that even if we weren't talking about the loss, he was sort of like just gone from the household. And we had been rushed over to the neighbors and there wasn't a conversation about it. And I could feel the feelings. But those feelings for me, when I really look at my childhood, came out when I was 10 at a great-grandfather's funeral. And I just started sobbing uncontrollably in a way that seemed out of proportion with what was happening in my relation to my great-grandfather, who I'd only seen a couple of times in my whole life. So the feelings will come out one way or the other, and if they don't come out outward, like letting out sound, I love that, just let your voice just make a sound and let that sound come out. And I know I had an experience digging in the garden when my husband was dying, and just like digging a hole and just like yelling into the hole about all of the built up emotion as I was watching him die from cancer for 10 months and not knowing what was next. So that sound, that I relate to that a lot.
Andrea, can I jump in? I love that you shared that. That's, I don't know a lot about it, but I've heard my sound healing shaman teacher talk about that as a Native American practice, I believe. And maybe Beth can even speak to that. You know, that's a really healing thing that people are often
encouraged by shamans to actually do is to go dig a hole and just kind of like grieve and wail and speak into it. Does that sound familiar to you, Beth? Uh-oh, you might be on mute.
Yeah, I was.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something about connecting to the energy of the earth, you know,
and
the womb, Mother Earth, in a way, kind of, you know, connect into that deep place within us, I think, is, mm-hmm. you know, healing, definitely. And that was one thing I was going to share just in general from... And I think, obviously, from all our different, you know, sort of cultural and religious traditions, there are different ceremonies that honor losses, birth, you know, mm-hmm. death. But creating that for ourselves in some way, that's been a lot of my personal practice to create a ceremony or even just a simple ritual around letting go or honoring the feelings, excuse me, or... you know, maybe the anniversaries or a remembrance of the person or what it is I'm letting go of. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I do at different times as it comes up, or maybe, choose a certain anniversary or birth date or something to celebrate that. And particularly even in a lot of cultures, that's been, you know, for all of our ancestors at certain mm-hmm. times of the year, there's celebrations that, I think really just kind of reconnect with our ancestors in that way and honor them, and it's an opportunity again to heal and grieve, you know, maybe grieve or allow feelings that we maybe haven't had at the surface before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about release, because that's a part of this, the release. And for me, when I was just describing the whole, I mean, I went into just involuntary, like, and I think I even yelled into it, die, 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 because my husband, and he actually died about a week later, but it was like the frustration of watching him and feeling so helpless and out of control, and how my daughter was responding, and, you know, just all of it. It's like there was this feeling of like Mother Earth, just take it, like I can't do it anymore, you know, that involuntary. So that's one way of releasing, is that mm-hmm. just like pouring sound into a hole. I thought actually at times, like I moved far away from the house, but I was right by the street. I thought, wow, I wonder what neighbors were going by. And I was like digging like a dog in this. But it was like, it was really healing at that point. And I went back into the house and was able to care for my husband and nurture and provide him what he needed, you know, and because I had a place to just like release it. So let's mm-hmm. talk a little bit about release. Are there stories you have, situations, things you've done?
Well, just on a similar theme, again, something that I learned from my teacher recently that I just found beautiful. It's just another way to kind of hold tears in particular, and as a way of release. And again, kind of this comparison of how our culture tends to see them maybe as weak. You know, we talk about, oh, I broke down, or he or she broke down, you know, a kind of this negative connotation or something. Mm-hmm. And my teacher was talking about how, you know, in Native American tradition, again, you know, that grief really balances the wheel of life, and how, and they look at every tear as being like a coin that falls on the scale, like the scale of one side is the person's life, and the tears are falling on the other side of the scale. So weeping those tears and saying, you know, these are for you to honor the full measure of how they walked on the earth. And just the idea of being encouraged to not cheat the scale by squelching the tears. You know, the tears really want to come forth and show the truth of who this person was.
And I just found that really beautiful as a way of holding holding the whole experience of crying. And I love that you were pointing that to, you know, the rituals and the ceremonies. I feel too, like so many cultures, especially ancient cultures and native cultures, have this built in, you know, that there's a long period of time or a way that the community comes together and just wails, and, you know, there's this free expression. And, you know, I'm looking at my own mother's memorial service coming up soon, and it's a community where if anybody's crying out loud, it's going to be very stifled. You know, it's the norm, and it's just an interesting thing in our culture of how much we don't give ourselves or each other permission to release. So I just think it's so important.
Yeah, I agree.
Beth, yeah, do you have anything you want to share? Anything else about release or ritual?
You know, one thing Andrea touched on, journaling and writing, is definitely a way for me, you know, that I'm able to release some emotion, release and connect a little bit more with it. But then just, yeah, really creating the space to allow the emotion to come. And I mean, one thing I spend a lot of time sometimes in my car, you know, crying or screaming if I need to, if I'm somewhere where I just, you know, it's arising and I have to, you know, let it out, you know. That's a safe space sometimes where you are by yourself, and it's, mm-hmm. you can do that, you know. And then it's important, I think, for us to do that on our own, but also to connect in some way, a community or maybe a support group, or, you know, just even if it's a good friend or someone, mm-hmm. I think it's important to share it and be witnessed by others. And, you know, sometimes there really is comfort in connecting with other people who are going through grief, and it doesn't have to be necessarily the same type of loss, but just, you know, so whether it's a ceremony or a support group, you know, or some type of gathering, I think that that is really important and healing.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a moment when we were all talking at the Zen House where I realized how good it felt to have a place where I could share this memory that had come up that morning, where I woke up thinking about the laughter of my son and my husband, who have both died. But I woke up thinking about their laughter. And it felt so good to have a place to share that, you know, that, and so the whole idea of having a ritual or ways to celebrate someone's life or ways to, not to hang on to the past, but to honor it and remember it in a way as part of who we are. You know, the idea also of writing our stories with Heal My Voice was never to let the story go and totally forget it. It's about to actually understand it and have a place for it to be present, like creating a tapestry of your life and your stories of the people who have been important, and, you know, having those places of remembrance. I was thinking about how I wrote 70 articles on grief transformation in 2010, and the top two articles that still get hits, you know, 5 years later, one is Rituals of Grieving in Different Cultures and Beliefs in an Afterlife, and Releasing the Ashes of a Loved One. So the idea that we want to have ways of celebrating, we want to have those rituals in place, it's just another way that I noticed, like, that's what people are searching for, you know, Googling for. It's like, how can I honor this part of my life, my experience? So I want to open it up if either of you have anything else that you want to say about that. And I also want to talk about the transformation that can happen when we give ourselves time to honor our feelings, when we have, when we use different ways of releasing, when we honor what has happened, what's the transformation that happens? Or how could you say, I'll just leave it at that. What speaks to you there?
Well, I guess I just, when I started, you know, at the beginning, one of the things I touched on was, you know, how I became a different, or I became a new person after that period of loss that I'd been through. And I think every loss, you know, we transform in some way. And it's interesting because the word is loss. And in shamanic healing, we talk a lot about soul loss, where we lose a part of ourselves, and that could be through various life experiences, including, a death or a birth or an accident or just a variety of different life experiences. But it's in that losing or that experience of loss that we really gain or regain, both I think gain and regain a part of ourselves and reconnect with more of who we really, with our essential self. And oftentimes I think we really begin to access some of our strengths and gifts that we didn't know we had.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Andrea?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like, you know, my mother's death is not even 2 months ago now, so it's very fresh. What was coming to mind for me was, I think losing a mother, I'm kind of hearing this from other people, and I don't quite have my own understanding of it yet, but there's something about losing your mother that is really transformational, and so, you know, it's something that I'm trusting that, you know, it may take me years to really understand, but there's something about losing that primary caretaker in our lives that opens the door to transformation and really owning who we are ourselves and the responsibility and being able to really step fully into who we are and the gifts, you know, that we have. Not that that can't happen before your mother dies, but that's just what was coming to mind right then. And I also had some thoughts related to just this idea of release through the sound, the voice, the tears. It is the release, I think, that makes way for the transformation. It's like creating space. Letting go creates the space for the new to come. And so, you know, the transformation can't really happen until we've, you know, really let go. And again, there's so many layers to this. You know, I think it's an ongoing process, and with that cyclic nature that you were speaking to, Andrea. And for myself, yeah, I feel like I'm kind of in the throes of this in a way that I can't really quite see it. Definitely, though, my divorce process, that also was, for me, a huge, you know, many years process of really coming into a place of my own that was very transformational. And again, similar to what I was saying about losing a mother, allowing me to kind of own my own gifts and step into who I am more fully, unattached to someone else, or, you know, kind of, I have been letting myself be defined, I think, by my husband or by my relationship with my husband, et cetera. And there was a way that I was hiding in that relationship. And so that loss made way for transformation and moving into work and just being in ways that were more authentic for me. So,
I really feel the richness in your expression here. And the thing that it brings me back to two things, two conversations I've had recently with people. One is that one of the greatest gifts of loss and grief is in the self-discovery of, you know, it's a very personal thing that happens. And it can't happen outside of ourselves. It has to be a way of going back, going deeply within ourselves. Like, that's the gift of grief and loss. And then the other thing is, I had someone recently ask me if losing so many different people and things in my life meant that I didn't want to let people in, you know? And I said, actually, it brings me into the present moment more, where I want to deeply be connected in the present moment and not look for when's the next time we're going to get together. It's like, who knows? You know, I had a friend die suddenly last year. Just, we had a conversation, she got off the phone, and she was dead a few hours later. And it's like, be in the moment, be in the present moment, and appreciate what is right in front of you instead of making all these future plans of the next time we're going to see each other. You know, it's like right here, right now. So,
Yeah, and so, wow, this 45 minutes just went so fast. All right, there's a few minutes left of the live portion of the show. I would really love to just shine a spotlight on each of you right now. Tell us things that are coming up. You're both entrepreneurs with your own business who offer classes and workshops and things like that. Like I said, I want to tell everyone the links. There are hyperlinked ways of getting in touch with them on their website. So go to the show page here and just click for AndreaWenger.com and BethTerrence.com. So, Andrea, tell us something. What's happening with you? What do you want people to know about?
Well, let's see. I love doing group sound healing events, and I have one this Saturday in Baltimore at Yoga on York. It's really filling up fast, so that'll probably be happening on a regular basis going forward. We'll need to decide exactly when and how, but that's really exciting, a group opportunity to come and release. We do vocal toning practice together, as well as just to be able to receive and listen to the crystal singing bowls and my own vocal toning in a way that's just deeply relaxing and releasing. And I work with individuals as well. Let's see, what are the other events? Oh, I have a retreat that's very exciting coming up on the 21st that I am one of about five facilitators. It's called Come to the ER, Emergence Retreat. And that is, I guess, contact me because it might not be on my website since I'm not the one that's organizing the whole thing. But that is going to be Saturday the 21st, right at the Equinox. It's time to be at the Equinox. It's going to be a powerful day of working with each of the elements, and I'm working with the element of the air. So, again, it'll be with breath, voice, and sound, a chance to really do some deep personal work that day. I'll leave it right there. There's more information on my website.
Beautiful. So if for anyone who goes to the website, you can sign up for Andrea's newsletter and receive a free sound healing track. Also, and like she said, the information is there. So, Beth, let me switch to you. What's happening? What do you want people to know about?
Sure. I have a teleseminar starting on the 23rd. It's a four-week series on mastering anxiety and stress, a holistic approach. So it can be done anywhere. I have a workshop in Annapolis this weekend, Loving Ourselves, A Key to Change and Healing. And then we have a workshop coming up for called Writing to Heal, Transforming Our Grief, which will be on May 2nd. That's with Andrea Hyland and I. So maybe you want to share more about that.
Well, I would say for everyone, go to feelmyvoice.org for updates on the workshop. And Beth and I are going to do a series of things where we're going to do a workshop on writing to heal, and we're going to do some teleclasses on grief and loss, change, release, transformation. And then the big Heal My Voice project for this year is the one about recovering voices. And so we are going to explore grief and write together in a community. So go to healmyvoice.org or send us a note if you want to have more information. So thank you for coming on and continuing the conversation. Let's go around and see if anyone has one more thing to say to close the show. So I'll start with you, Andrea.
Let me take a deep breath, see what's there. What's coming up is something you had said earlier, Andrea, about just being in the moment. I think that's my commitment to my own, you know, grief process. Just allow what is, whatever's showing up in the moment, to allow it, to not resist, and keep letting go layer by layer.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So Beth.
Yeah, for some reason what's coming to mind is to just be gentle and loving with yourself in the process of grief. And even if feel like you're not in grief process and grief or those kinds of feelings come up, to just honor them and allow them.
Thank you. I'll take a deep breath on that one, and I'm going to close out the show with Andrea Wenger's song, There Is Enough, which is what we started with, and also to just remind everyone that we do have an event on Sunday at Bus Boys and Poets in Tacoma Park, Maryland. There's information on the website, healmyvoice.org, under the event for that. So we'd love to see you there in person for this next conversation. So thank you. See you all. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look around you. The mess is not hard to find. Empty spaces, wars, and toxic places. A deep divide between have and have not.